Welcome to the On Foot Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the On Foot Podcast. This week we're looking at the productivity questions thrown up from COVID-19. Has working from home improved productivity? What are the unintended consequences? And where are companies and governments globally innovating the technology questions, the change of management structures? And I think we have a very good panel here to discuss this. I am Ellie Groves, the Managing Director for the Economic and Monetary Policy Institute at OMFIS. I'm very pleased to be joined by Sammy Cho. She is the Chief Administrative Officer in the Asia Pacific region and also Chief Executive for the Hong Kong branch at BNY Mellon. She has worked in multiple cities prior to Hong Kong and is an active supporter in the LGBTQ plus community, where she has been recognised by the FT. She also sits on the board of the City's Mental Health Alliance for Hong Kong, which has links to the UK as well. And we also have Peter Outridge here. He is the head of people and change at Hong Kong in China, KPMG in China. He sits on the Global People and Change Committee and the Inclusion and Diversity Panel for KPMG, as well as having experience working across all of Asia. So they bring a lot of experience to this discussion, especially in the areas of diversity, inclusion, and the risks and productivity opportunities that working from home brings. So I would like to turn to Peter first. Thank you. COVID-19 turned into an economic crisis, but the impact of the health crisis has seen a rise in a change in working practices, which many expect to continue. Here at OMFIF, we are in the office once or twice a week, but also working flexible from home. Do you both agree, and Peter, I want to start with you, that companies will see the structural shift in the long term, or do you think that this move is still a medium to short term phenomenon?
Yeah, thanks, Ellie. Great to be with you today. Look, I certainly believe that COVID-19 has been a great catalyst for change. It has accelerated the digitization of work and the transformation of the workplace. And I think it's also helped leaders and employees realize that there are alternate ways of working, alternatives to the more traditional in the office, 9 to 5, 9 to beyond 5, which we have become very, very used to. And with that, it brings a change to the traditional in the office presenteeism. So I think, to answer your question, yes, it is here to stay. There are organizations who have come out quite clearly saying that, no, the office is where we do our work and that's where you will be. But there are also other organizations that have said, well, maybe you don't ever need to come back into the workplace. So clearly we have a situation where organizations are across a broad spectrum and they're working through at their own pace to find their happy place and what really works for them.
Yeah, that's definitely seen here at OMFIF as well. And Sammy, with you, do you see that you have come back to the office or globally as well? What have you seen across your global branches?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me as well. Glad to be here. Absolutely. As Peter articulated, the way we're working is shifting. And if you refer to the Fortune 100 companies that have announced their plans, according to McKinsey & Company, over a vast majority, 50% of them have said that they are looking to operate in a hybrid model. And here at BNY Mellon, this hybrid approach is also our go-forward model. And we expect it to be a differentiator for us. As we have recognized through this COVID situation, the flexibility provides greater productivity and different ways of working and enhances collaboration as well. So yes, absolutely agree with Peter, and that is how the industry is also moving forward.
Thank you. Peter, KPMG has recently released a report looking at embedding new ways of working. What do you see the benefits and possibly also the risks? We can put the usual benefits and risks question to the way of working that you've seen and maybe if you have any case studies on this as well, that would be very helpful to give some flavor.
I think the benefits, there are probably three. First of all, we have seen, and we've seen it in our own organization, we've seen it with our clients, we've seen massive increases in employee empowerment. Okay, allowing employees to make decisions around where they work and when they work based on agreements in terms of what's going to be delivered when really does give increased levels of empowerment, and that has positive flow-on effects to employee engagement. So that empowerment drives the employee engagement, drives the employee experience, and that flows through into interaction with customer. So we have this continuum here where greater trust, greater empowerment fuels the customer, the client interaction, provides a greater level of service, which ultimately boosts productivity. So I think the benefits we're seeing are employee engagement, flow on into productivity, and then also really looking at enhancements to the employee brand, which is incredibly powerful and attractive and in this current market where, you know, let's face it, candidates are becoming very discerning over where they work, and they want to work for organizations where they sense an alignment of value and alignment of purpose. So I do think that more flexible ways of working and allowing people to make that more decisions around how they work and when they work have definite flow-on positives.
The same to you, Sammy. Where have you seen at BNY Mellon the productivity and the benefits for companies and employees? But also, do you as an employer see the risks as well?
Yeah, sure. The way I would phrase it is that flexibility leads to happy employees, which leads to increased productivity as well. I mean, the last year and a half has been incredibly difficult for both physically and mentally. And so safety and health and well-being continue to be our top priorities for most organizations. There is a renewed emphasis on taking care of ourselves and our colleagues with protocols and programs and benefit offerings being reassessed and modernize and better support employees in a current environment. Let me give you an example of one of the policies that we have reviewed and rolled out earlier this year. And it is related to caregiver leave policy. What this policy allows to do is allows employees the flexibility to take up to 10 working days to help manage whether it was a planned or unplanned family care circumstances. And because of these purposely driven areas that we have assessed, there is a bit more thought went into specifically looking at different categories away from, oh, because this is a good thing to do. We are very targeting into specific areas. So I think that is a great accomplishment that the firm has done.
Peter, do you have anything to add to that?
I just realized I didn't answer the second part of your question, which is around the risks. Sorry. Thanks for keeping me on my toes, Sammy. So I think the biggest risk for organizations around this, if they think that the shift to more flexible ways of working is just about a policy shift, because it's much, much more than that. It's about a fundamental mindset shift in terms of how employees and how leaders engage with their teams. The risks are that organizations don't understand and don't understand the significance of the shift and don't spend enough time equipping leaders to lead in this new dynamic. Because I know ourselves, right, a very traditional organization, we went suddenly from having partners in their offices with their teams immediately outside and having this sense of comfort, they knew what people were doing. Suddenly we're all working remotely. We don't have that control. So it requires a fundamental rethink of the ways of engagement. So making sure that we understand the different types of leadership that are required, making sure that team leaders spend time reaching out to people, connecting with people, finding new ways to have conversations and finding new ways to replace those water cooler conversations. If we don't do all of that, this creates endemic risk in the organization. I think that's important, but I also think we need to rethink performance management as well. We typically are very focused on what we can see, and what we can see we know is something being done. So we can't see the way people are working, and so we need to set very clear objectives around the outcomes and work towards that. So all of these things require a fundamental shift in what's been ingrained in leaders and managers over many, many, many years. And it's not going to happen overnight, but you know, it does happen and the benefits are there by making it work.
Sammy, just coming back to you.
Yeah, so Peter, thanks for picking up on the policy aspect, right? I completely agree that policy is one thing. It's how we implement and how we apply to our working environment. And with the work from home model, if you look at certain sections of your employee base, for those that are juniors, that are just starting out in the workforce, they don't get the benefit of what we had, as a bit of an old timer here, connecting with the seniors or just, you know, water cooler conversations on how things happen. And they are lacking that benefit. So we need to make sure that with hybrid model, some of these shortfalls on certain segments of our workforce is also being included in.
I actually want to pick up on one of the potential risks that we've identified at OnFIF when we've been thinking around this. It links to the gender balance focus that we at OnFIF have. We put out a gender balance index report looking at the senior levels in central banks and the gender balance there. We also this year rolled it out to private banks as well and delving in a little bit there, because there is quite a lot of work here around the gender balance in women especially, and feeling the pressure of taking up more of the childcare and working longer hours, but also not having the face time in the office. And I'm wondering, and I think actually what you were saying there, Peter, around having a fundamental cultural shift is very important. And how are companies embedding that cultural shift around kind of to still ensure that women are not left off or not, you know, the leaky pipeline is often talked about within senior management. So are there active things that your companies or KPMG have seen companies do, which has been very beneficial to ensure that doesn't happen? So Sammy, I can see you are ferociously nodding at this. So I'm going to you first and for talk around that diversity question.
Happy to. I think the way I look at it, it is not just a corporate level driven, but it's also individual managers, how we approach our staff, especially women and others that have diverse backgrounds. From the corporate level, we have one of the most diverse boards on Wall Street, and 40% of our new hires are women, and 45% of our new hires are coming from the diverse backgrounds. To enhance female career workforce advancement, we have specific programs to ensure that our mentoring programs are specifically towards the female workforce. But in addition to that, what is more important from my perspective, from the experience I've had, I have a young child, and it is so true. I mean, who is really looking after all the WebEx programs and school homeworks and making sure the kid logs in for the right time? There's a lot of organization that goes into it in the background. And how I manage myself is making sure that I reflect that my experience on my teams, and I encourage everyone to check in, especially to their female employees who has childcare responsibilities and elderly care as well, so that we understand. And purpose-driven checking ins have gone a long way. So the way we have looked at it is, again, corporate level as well as individual managers, encouraging everyone to be more engaged throughout this whole ordeal that we went through.
Thank you. Peter, do you have any to add to that, anything to add to that, and especially any findings that you have seen through the report that you put out?
Yeah, look, absolutely. I think, you know, as Sammy said, checking in is absolutely essential. And, you know, we've put in place programs to make sure that managers, that leaders are checking in with their teams and having conversations just to understand how are people experiencing, well, various forms of lockdown. And look, here in the region at the moment, there are various stages of lockdown. But how are people experiencing that? And then also, how are they coping with adjustments to more prolonged, flexible ways of working? So it's important that we get that pulse and that we understand that and we respond to that. our Australian firm has recently just sent out a survey to all employees, understanding what do they want to see? What's going to work for them to make the flexible working model more sustainable, and really understand what are those barriers that they need to address in order for it to operate seamlessly. And we like to talk about three different hubs. There's the work hub, there's the home hub, and there's the client hub. And what we're trying to get to is we're trying to understand those obstacles so that work can go on seamlessly across those three hubs, and that nobody is disadvantaged. So that's the ambition. And it is through checking in. It is through the role modeling of leaders. This is absolutely imperative. And both, you know, male and female there demonstrating and championing their desire and making sure that we get the right outcomes across those different hubs. So I think, you know, for us, that is really where we put in the most effort there, is in checking in understanding how people are experiencing and being seen to take action, and also being incredibly transparent around the ambition and transparent around telling stories to make it real and to make sure that people don't feel like they are alone, and we can make sure that these stories, you know, get traction.
Sammy, I want to come to you because I saw that you wanted to add in there, but I also want to just ask Peter beforehand, actually, a follow-up question on the cultural changes and shifts. And something you mentioned earlier was that the way that we do business, or the way that we manage, has evolved over years of open plan offices are still considered relatively new, even though they have been best sort of practice for many, many years, at least, especially for my working life as well. So I think, actually, how long will this take? I mean, this has been a shift in the last year that has been quite abrupt, huge change very quickly. Do you think that a cultural shift, and how is the pathway to ensure that this cultural shift sticks, I guess, that in this time next year, this is not just a distant memory? Because I think actually that checking in, that trust in employees, that believing that they are productive, even if you don't have to hover over their desk every minute of every day, is actually possibly very beneficial to the wider productivity questions that we've seen within global businesses. So how are you ensuring that this isn't just a year shift for something that is more prolonged?
Yes. So look, if I can just tell a story about what happened here in Hong Kong. I mean, if going back about 2 years, we were relocating offices and moving from very structured traditional working places to much more flexible. I mean, the office outside me here is totally open plan. I'm sitting in a quiet room so I can have this quiet conversation. We no longer have partner offices. So massive shift for us. And we were thinking, how are we going to make this stick? And then COVID happened, and you know what? It stuck. It stuck straight away because of necessity. We absolutely had to. But what's working incredibly well for us is, you know, that old age capability of telling stories, right? People, we have visible leaders who are telling stories about how they make the day work as they move from client to office to home. And, you know, each day can be really very different. And the point is, we need to make sure that people can be contactable. And technology enables us to do that. You're no longer able to walk down the hall and find someone in their office, but you know exactly which form of technology you can use to track them, to get hold of them when you need to. So I mentioned before leaders role modeling. This is absolutely key. And our people tell us this, that we need leaders to be working from home, working across the different hubs. We need leaders to be telling stories about how they make it work and telling stories about how their clients are making it work. So I do think that's absolutely essential. I mean, what we've seen here is that people were skeptical. They made the shift. They had to make the shift. And it's really been proven that there are incredible benefits, as I mentioned before, the empowerment, the increased engagement, the greater interaction, the client satisfaction, et cetera. I think it's all of these things coming together that really ensure that we can actually embed it effectively.
One, thank you. Sammy, do you have anything to add to that effective embedding, and also to follow up on any of the gender diversity questions?
Yes. So what Peter described, KPMG's new working space situation is very similar to what we went through at BNY Mellon. We unveiled our new open plan in February, and just as the COVID started to be a real problem for us. So since then, we haven't been able to bring in a large number of staff back to the office. However, again, the cultural shift is based on really spreading how we are doing things differently throughout the firm. So I want to give you a couple of examples how we went about some of the shifting the changes. We have started a couple of blogs within the firm where we are encouraging everyone to share what benefits, what are some of the things that they take away as a positive from this situation. And it has gotten a lot of attention from various levels and across the firm globally. Even our CEO, global CEO, had commented on some of those changes that he has seen are positive. And also, we continue that on with coffee sessions through different WebEx sessions. I think what it is the leaders demonstrate what they see and overcoming the cultural barriers, not just within the company, but also we have various jurisdictions. So by, again, using the technology and also applying really human aspects of our, you know, work-life situations.
Thank you very much. I think what we've spoken here is quite a lot about how businesses are innovating. I also, and the rise of productivity within this process. We've also seen quite a lot of stories around city central hubs losing out, potential impact that will have on GDP growth, the government policies around how they're trying to incentivize or look at shifting cities and shifting focus on where cities are, especially, I mean, from London, we've seen that I live in South London and the high street has been incredibly busy, buzzing, because of the schemes put in. Restaurants are still opening up and everything is kind of happening within their coffee shops are open. Whereas when I first started coming back into the office a little bit last year, the coffee shops around the city of London were still shut, even though the, you know, the Starbucks around the corner from my home was open, but the Starbucks around my office wasn't. So those shifting kind of cityscapes. And I wonder if the productivity that businesses are seeing rise will outweigh those potential risks for the governments are looking at. Do you see that play out, or what do you think actually would be the support that you could that would be helpful at a state level for you in the companies that you're working in? So perhaps Peter go first.
Yeah, so Ellie, it's definitely a time of change, right? There's no denying that, and your point around, you know, coffee shops being quiet and being busy in different locations because of the changes, it's very, very real. And the changes, the impact that's being felt is very real. We can't deny that. I'm a firm believer that the productivity benefits are very significant. I think we're at a time where the nature of work is changing. It has been changing for a while. The workplace is evolving, just as the workplace has evolved previously, that took us to these big glass, you know, shiny towers. I don't think we're going to move away from that totally, but I think the flexibility means that there needs to be some adjustment. I think it's ultimately a positive one for the way organizations work and the way organizations source skill. Because we talk about the five B's. We talk about, you know, where do you buy your skill? Where do you borrow your skill? Where do you build? Where do you bot? So can you automate skill? And finally, where do you base your skill? So organizations now have a lot more flexibility over where they've sourced their talent. So that provides itself greater benefits for business. As with any time of change, there are going to be impacts, and we need to work that through. And I think different cities will work out what's the right level of compensation if it is required there. But I think you know, as we talked about before, this is not an all or nothing. This is it's a continuum, right? I mean, if I think about the clients of ours who have been very public about how they choose to work in the future, you know, some are saying we expect everyone to be in the office 3 days a week. Some are saying, well, it's, you know, anywhere between 2 and 4. So we're not, I don't believe that the office, the workspaces are going to become deserts. They're absolutely not, but there is going to be a shift. And with anything new comes a whole lot of opportunity. So I remain optimistic.
That's very good. Sammy, do you have any thoughts on the changing cityscape and how that will look?
Yeah, I mean, we are, as I mentioned earlier, we are moving to a hybrid model, which is a combination of work from home and in-office days. Now, we are building this based on the foundational capabilities and our technology capabilities. However, I mean, we're not going to be able to address every situation, but being agile and being flexible to deal with a situation that comes up. With that, it requires leadership support, obviously the employee support, and the cultural shift is going to be a very key.
Thank you. I think I want to bring this to a close. It's been a very interesting discussion and it gives me quite a lot of hope for future productivity in businesses and also a focus on employees and people-centered growth, which I think is very important. One thing I would say is, again, I want to sort of, if we have more time, I delve into the technological innovations, because something that we've also seen is how that can grow and that sector can grow. Something that you were talking about, Peter, earlier was that actually the only way that this has worked is because we are so far in technology, the fact that we can zoom in from Hong Kong, from London, and have a discussion is incredibly helpful and has really put forward a lot of business growth, which is great. So I think there is a lot of technological innovation as well in how we go into the future. And that also links with the other big key theme of sustainability and what will global events look like in the future? Will they have an element of Zoom interaction or video interaction? So I think there's a lot further to unpack and a lot further to go, but I'm really heartened by the focus on both BNY Mellon and KPMG on the people-centered management and how we really allow for employees to grow and develop in their work-life balance as well. So, and also being aware of the risks that some of this will throw up to. So thank you very much both for joining. Do you have any final comments you want to put forward on the thinking around this growth and productivity, but also the risks from the shift to working from home in a flexi or hybrid fashion? So Sammy, do you have any sort of final remarks?
I think the one thing I've learned from this past year and a half is that the resiliency of our people are incredible and ability to adapt to different changes. And I think that we keep seeing those, obviously not in this kind of situation, but, you know, it's good to know that we are able to change and make the situation the best as we can.
Thank you. And Peter.
Yeah, look, I'd have to echo that. I think what we've seen with personal resilience has been phenomenal, and also at an organizational level as well. It's also been really heartening to see the incredible levels of empathy that have come out amongst staff, looking out for others who are perhaps not experiencing things as well as some others. And I've also been incredibly inspired by the creativity from people across all levels of the organization. We talked before about empowerment, but I think this has been a bit of an equalizer, really. And so perhaps some of those more junior members of teams who maybe ordinarily wouldn't get a voice to speak up have been able to speak up and certainly have been really forthcoming in that's talking about ideas about how we do get together through technology. It's been a great journey so far, and we're still going, right?
Excellent. Well, this is really heartening to hear, and I think it's been a productive conversation as well. So thank you very much, Sammy Cho and Peter Outridge from BNY Mellon and KPMG, respectively. So thank you very much for joining us at this OnFIF podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the OnFIF podcast.